till you get to that point in your life. You might waste 20 years, you might waste 50 years. There are people who wasted many, many years. Mm-hmm. But God doesn't wait. He will still at you. He's still at you. But you need that point in your life. You know, we are very busy. Everybody's very busy. You get up in the morning, you look at your phone, you kind of have your iPhone on, you see what's going on, and you guys are well up on everything. There is no moment that's free. As a matter of fact, when you're sleeping, you have your ear things on to kind of like, you're not stopping. You're always busy. You need to do that. You need to spend time alone in the presence of the Lord in all honesty. Nobody around you, so you could not trying to act up. Just pour your heart. He knows everything about you. And said, I can't do it anymore. I'm tired of it. And Lord, I know you have a blessing for me. You want me to go on now to be a person that is going to be a help to those around me. To be a blessing to instead of being a grief. I mean, Jacob was a grief to everybody around him. Everybody. He was a grief to Laban. I mean, what a testimony in there. He was a grief to Laban because Laban's thinking, oh, what Jacob's going to do now? And Jacob's thinking, what Laban is going to do to now? And Rachel's thinking the same way. And he's a grief to everybody around him. You need to get to the point that you'll be a source of blessing and encouragement and help to all of those around you. Until you get to that point in your life, brothers and sisters alike, where you are alone in the presence of God, turn your phone off, turn your internet off, turn everything off. Just spend time in the presence of the Lord. Say, Lord, I really need to be transformed. That metamorphosis that we heard about. I need to stop. I know, and I have to confess that I'm Jacob, and I have been, and you tell the Lord what you have been doing. And tell him now, help me out, because I cannot go on my own strength. I need your help. I might have the brain, sanctify that brain, so it would think right. I have the muscle, sanctify those muscles so they will be used right. I have feet, sanctify those feet, Lord, so they could walk right. Those hands, sanctify them, Lord. The ears, the eyes, and you ask the Lord to come in and use what he had given you. The ability, it's a wonderful thing to have natural ability. Nothing wrong with that. But let the Lord take them and use them. Don't let the flesh take them and use them.
You know, I wanted to point out that it's very true that God was very gracious and long-suffering to Jacob. And the Lord is that way to us. And his desire is that some of the circumstances that he takes us through, that they would do the work in us. But when it doesn't happen, just imagine that God, he visited Jacob. He came where he was. He took human form because this man that he had been trying to shape in, change through circumstances that happened in his life, everything that he tried to do deceitfully went from him. Those are lessons you would stop and say, you know, every time I try to do something, it doesn't work out. You think you would alter your method. That's how God allows us to learn lessons. But when we don't learn the lesson, you know what God does? He makes a special visit to us. And I want us, as young people, to understand that while there is the grace of God, we said there's also the government of God. Hebrews tells us that God is a consuming fire. In the book of Genesis, he says, my spirit shall not always strive with men. There comes a point where God says, enough. And he comes right where Jacob is. Jacob, you don't want to surrender on your own. You don't want to learn from the lessons that I've allowed you to experience. And here's Jacob fighting. You know, and this is us. We want to hold on to the flesh. We want to hold on to the our own natural energy, our own thoughts. And God says, look at this man. He could have touched him well before the break in the day. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to show and demonstrate to Jacob, look what is in you. And then after that moment, he just touched him right there. You know, young people, you don't ever want to be touched by God in this way. This man limped for the rest of his life. Yesterday I spoke about the scars that come from disobedience. This was a scar that wherever Jacob went from this moment on, people say, hey, Jacob, what happened to your dad? What happened to you? Now, if you got the lesson right, he would say, look, here's what I was before Jacob. Jacob was a wicked man. Jacob had his own thoughts, going his own way. But you know what? God loved me, was so interested in me, that he stopped me in my tracks. And what he had to do to me was he had to give me a limp. Now, I tell you, young people, there's a better way than getting a limp. If we surrender to the Spirit of God, give ourselves over, our thought life, and when you control your mind, the body follows. What is your name? You know, I think of Jonah when he was going to Tarshish. After all of the stuff had been brought upon him, they said, hey, what's your name? What's your occupation? Right? And he went right back to what he was in nature. Saul got a new name. Paul. We have to get new names. If we don't get new names, well, you know, we're operating along the old line. He says, I want to make this point also. At some point in this encounter, Jacob recognizes that the one that he cannot prevail against is the one that can bless him. Mm-hmm. It's the one that has been talking to him. And we have to realize that, you know, when we sin, when we want to go our own way, we're taking a stand against the one who says, I want to bless you. The blessings can't flow when we're fighting God, when we're doing our own thing. So the Lord has to say, you know what? In spite of what you're doing, I'm going to cause you to surrender, to make you weak naturally, so that the blessings can come out, and so you can be then strong. Just a verse in 2 Corinthians that we should know, chapter 12. We may think of this in terms of the Apostle Paul, where he was given an impediment in the flesh for a different reason, right? Because he saw things that no man had ever seen. But it was to subdue the flesh. I want to read verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. And here's the key, for when I am weak, then am I strong. When we give up being Jacob, we give up our natural name and ability, and we surrender to the Spirit of God, then are we strong. Then the blessings come. He gives Jacob the name Israel. He says, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. If you read the book of Hosea, chapter 12, I think it is, you will see some expressions here that relate to Jacob and this experience, the change of his name. And I want to suggest to each of us young people, we need to have a name change. We need to surrender. And God, the Lord, is more than willing to give us a name that is a name of great valor and blessing, one who is now devoted to him, Israel, place a prince with God and with me.